singing all the way around. Let me see if I can get this thing turned on here. How about that?
Is that ready? Over in the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 18, you find the place you're able to stand. Look in chapter number 18 of the book of 1 Kings and about verse number 36. All right, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, he's about to pray now, he said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me this, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. I want to say that as we get ready to pray and ask God's blessing upon it, there's 63 words that he prayed unto the Lord before the fire fell. Bless, I pray the word of the Lord now. We thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on when the fire fell. We mentioned the other day and talked about whenever God cut off the water of heaven and it got to where it was drying up the creeks and branches and the ditches and the lakes and every place it would hold water, and they were searching, king and governor and everybody, trying to find some water somewhere to at least keep the animals alive. We preached about and talked about that. God had already sent Elijah and told Ahab, it's not going to be a dew or a rain anymore except by my word, thus saith the Lord. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that now that Elijah has shown up by the command of God and he's faced Ahab, Ahab accuses him of being the troublemaker there that's in the land. And Elijah makes it very quick to tell him that it's not me that's caused any trouble, it's you, Ahab, that's troubled Israel. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that what happened was over there in verse number 18 about this text is that the Bible said, and he answered, I've not troubled Israel. And Elijah's telling him, but thou and thy father's house, here's how you did it, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and thou hast followed Balaam. I got to tell you, when you forsake God, the word of the Lord, you'll be in the fabrication business because you'll try to fabricate something that'll make you feel good about yourself the way you live without the need to repent. Ahab was a loophole Baptist. He was looking for another way around it. Those old prophets that came, buddy, Jezebel hated him. She was a preacher killer, man. And as a result of that, he was so henpecked and house broke that he pretty much had to go along with what she was doing. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it in this lesson here that it's got to where it's dry, it's barren time. And the Bible said that Elijah in these chapters that he calls together all the prophets of Israel and he says it's time to take a stand and for you to make a choice. If Baal be God, serve Baal. But if God be God, serve God. And let me tell you right now is, in the day and hour that they were living in, is that there wasn't a whole lot of preaching going on that honored God. There's a whole lot on there that dishonored God, but it made Jezebel feel good about herself like she was without the need to repent. That's where we're at in the day we live in. It's called psychology preaching. And let me tell you right now is that every now and again, you know, we're going to have somebody say something that's not exactly right, and you ought to know enough Bible by now to correct it in your mind and not swallow it hook, line, and sinker every time something comes up. If it's erroneous, then you just simply call that aside and just keep on plowing for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that he tells all those prophets there, and he said, I want to make a challenge to you. Here's a choice you got. And by the way, he's fixing to shoot it straight to them. He's not worried about buddies. He's not worried about buddy plans. He's not worried about anybody liking it, loving it, or leaving it. He said, you're going to have to make a choice. You're either going to serve Baal with his infidels, or you're going to have to serve God and be able to know him. What do you think God's told us that you better be careful about of the word of the Lord and add not to what he had to say, lest you be found a liar, see? Here's what he began to do in this lesson. He began to talk them and address them because they had forsaken the commandments of God. That means they knew what the commandments of God were. They just forsook it and left it and went on and did whatever they felt like was all right in their own eyes. In this Bible lesson, let me say to you, as we look in this passage, is that here's what he tells them. He said, I want all of Baal's people, their 850 prophets they've got, I want to challenge him before God. Now, isn't it amazing? He didn't just want you to take his word for it. He's about to prove what God's about to do. And the Bible said that he challenges them, and he goes on and says that about verse number 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. And he goes on and tells them that the rules are this. I want them to be able to build an altar, and I want them to go ahead and take two bullocks, and they can choose a bullock for themselves. They can cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. I don't want you to put any fire under it. I mean, here's some people here fixing to be exposed. Nothing going to be able to be up your sleeve. And call on the name of the Lord, your name of your God, brother, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now, so as a result of that, here's what they did. In verse number 25, Elijah said, I want you to choose one bullock for yourselves, dress it first. He's going to let them go first, wouldn't it? And fed your many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And they did that. They took the bullock, and they prepared it. And the Bible said in verse 26, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon. You know why, don't you? That's when Roman Catholicism wants to get rid of their sacrifices. But these are not Roman Catholics, but they're going straight to hell as. And he says, and from morning to noon, they said, O Baal, hear us. Well, they're praying, but there was no voice nor any answer. And they leaped upon the altar. Maybe it needs a little more excitement. Maybe it's not enough just to get to there and praying and talking. Let's go ahead. And they started leaping up on their altar. sound like Baptist, don't it? Let's get some more involvement. Let's do some things. I'm tired of just going to church and listening to the word of the Lord and having singing and having praying. And I'm tired of that. I got to have something that's more exciting. Let's start running and screaming like wild Comanches and cutting ourselves and letting blood gush out like Baalites did. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out that here's what happened, is that they got no answer. And it came to pass about noon, then in verse 27, and it came to pass about noon that Elijah mocked them. Now, I want you to underline that in your heart if nowhere else. And next time some peckerwood tells you, I don't think you ought to make fun of other preachers and other religions. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you ought to do. Why wouldn't you want to make fun of any religion that'll doom and damn a soul to a devil's hell that preaches a damnable lie and causes people to forsake God and the Bible? Well, he got to mocking them. And don't you notice what he said? He cried aloud, he said, for he is a God. He is either talking or pursuing or maybe in a journey or peradventure sleeping, and he must be awakened. And they cried aloud. They must have believed him, and they got to crying aloud. But then they got to thinking, you know, what we need to do is we need a little blood on the scene. And they cut themselves after the manner in verse 28 with knives and lancet until blood gushed out upon them. That must have been a sight. And it came to pass when the midday was passed that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you, that must have been humiliating. Can you just see them out there bloody as a beef? I mean, exhausted, disappointed that their God hadn't answered. They've been preaching that God. They've been serving that Baal God. They've been lying to other people about that. And now they're exhausted. Their time is up. And the Bible said, and then verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You know, that's what's wrong with the average Baptist church. The altar's gone, buddy. I remember I took a church up in Grand Saline one time, First Baptist Church, and boy, I'm glad that's over. The old farmer pastor that used to be there in the BMA group, the farmer pastor that was there was a 32nd degree Mason with all his Masonic brothers coming to that church. I got to tell you right now, you talk about infidels ready to explode. The long and short of it was is that whenever you listened to those people and you looked at them, let me tell you what they did was is that we had some altars built and they put them out there in the floor, and man, it nearly caused a church split. I mean, they were nice looking. They were well padded. They matched the carpet. I mean, somebody done a jam up job in putting them out there. And he said, "Preacher, I'm so embarrassed because somebody came in that's elderly, they liable to trip over that." I said, "Bless God, honey, if they do trip, they'll be in a position to do some praying. This church ain't had nobody praying at the altar in a long time." I got to tell you something, is that the altar had not been used here in Israel for a while. I don't want to ask you because I'm sure that you're like I am. Some days you're a good prayer warrior. And some days you're not worth a spit in a river. I'm sure we're all made of the same passage. But I want to tell you, God ever makes us mindful. God makes us realize and know that He is God. Beside Him, there's none else. Notice, if you will, that He repairs the altar. And the Bible said He took 12 stones, and each one for a tribe, one of the tribes of Israel. And He takes those stones, and the Bible said that whenever He builds that, repairs that altar, He goes on, and here's what He says there: "I want you to make a trench." They're going to dig out something around about the altar as a great, as would contain 2 measures of seed. "And I want you to put the wood in order and the bullock in pieces, and I want you to lay them upon this altar. And I want you to fill 4 barrels. Now pay close attention to that. I want you to fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And He said, "Do it the second time." There's 4 more barrels. And they did it the second time. And He said, "Do it the third time." And buddy, let me tell you, they did it the third time. As they did on the first, they did it at the third time. And the Bible said in verse 35, "The water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass that at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said," and now the prayer begins. Now I want to say to you that when you look at what they're doing, can you imagine? There's been a drought. There's no water nowhere. Do you realize and know that 12 barrels of water is a very precious commodity? You mean to tell me, Elijah, you want us to take what water we can scrape up? What water we got left? You see, He's wanting them to know there'll be absolutely no doubt of anybody pulling some kind of hot coal somewhere and igniting that fire. He knows that if God doesn't answer by fire, that it's not going to do any more than they did over there with Baal and his prophets. But boy, He's praying now. He's done everything. And by the way, it didn't just seem like a good idea to Him. Baptists, we're noted for just doing what we feel good about, what we think's all right, or we heard somebody else say. I got to tell you something. Make no mistake about it. He said, "Lord, let them know that I did this according to Thy word." And this Bible said that, if you will, that when He got through praying, and if I didn't miscount them, and I recounted them, in verse number 36 and 7, when He starts praying, 63-word prayer. Didn't take no hour and a half. 63-word praying. And buddy, the power of God moved, and the Spirit of God and the fire of God fell. And not only did it lick up the sacrifices, but all that water that was in that trench and everything that was poured round about it. Now, you know, that's exactly in the day whenever, remember a fellow by the name of Cain? Remember that? Remember Abel? Yeah. Abel, keeper of sheep. Cain was a man, fruit of the ground. And he got all of his offering together, where Abel followed the blood route, And Cain was a man that went ahead and got all of his fruits and things, and they looked beautiful and all of that. And Abel's bloody religion, the Bible said, that because no doubt that he had obeyed and listened to his mom and his daddy who had already sinned, and now God made coats of skin, shed sacrifices and blood, and redeemed them. But you'll find they had preached that to them boys, but one of them by the name of Cain didn't believe it. And the Bible said that whenever Cain saw that God had favor unto Abel's offering, but not unto his. How do you think he saw it? That fire fell upon that blood-given offering. And nothing happened to the other one. It just kept looking prettier and stinking more and getting deeper and deeper in trouble. And old Cain was wroth. Remember that? And God said, why doeth thy countenance fall? Thou doest well. Shall not be received, so forth and on. I want to say to you that, if you will, this must have been a sight to behold. And that Bible said that when you begin to look into it and the fire fell, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw that, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now, verse 40, it would be something that people would stop and want to put the skids on if they're not careful. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, that's 850 of them, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee eat and drink, for there's a sound of the abundance of rain. And you can read the rest of that. And boy, he sends that servant to go out there and to look across the sea. And he said, I don't see anything. And he did it seven times. And on the seventh time, he said, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And he said, quick, we got to get on down from here. And it got to clouding up. It got to get the sky black. And buddy, the waterworks of heaven were turned back on just exactly like God had said that it would be. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that that God records those things that are like that. Now, you'd think that old Elijah would be bold as a lion. And you'd think that absolutely after seeing God move in his behalf like that, why, listen, you couldn't scare him with a Gatling gun or anything else. But Jezebel did. Because it ain't going to be long. He's going to be under a juniper tree. And he's saying, Lord, it's better for me to die than to live. You remember that? And because of the fact that I've obeyed thee so forth and on, blah, 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 and Jezebel's wanting to come kill him or have him killed because of them prophets that he had slain. And I got to tell you, Elijah felt like he was the only one. But God said, I've got 7,000 that have not bowed the knees to Baal. Now, that's not very many among all of Israel and all the people that you're coming in contact with up and down the road of life. I want to say in closing, I don't care how many people you see come. I don't care how many people you see go. I don't care how many preachers you see rise and fall. You make sure you're in your place with God. That's all you got to do. And I guarantee you right now is that as the people of Israel across the country right tonight, they no doubt, I hope you're praying for them as I too am. I can tell you right now, God is manifesting how this wicked world hates the people of God. He's just showing that right there. And as it was back in those days, they're hated in the day and hour that we're living in. You know, Ahab was king over the people of God, but he perverted their thinking by speaking the wrong word. And the words of Baal were falsified, so forth and on. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We thank you for having heard and answered. The captives free. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl. Be with those that could not be. Heal those that are sick. Restore their health in accordance to thy word and will. And we'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.